Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Life with Rich and Christ. This show is like no other show you're ever going to hear in Christian media, because it's not about what you have to do for God in order for God to do for you. This is about the real grace of God, the real grace that isn't taught in churches today, because the leaders themselves have not come to the place of releasing their life enough to trust God to show them what real grace is, because real grace is knowing that no matter what you do or don't do, that God is for you and that there's nothing that you can do and there's nothing that you can't do that can separate you from the perfect love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And the reason I started doing this show is because I saw in Christian media that there was so much fluff and there was so much so much of the teaching had to do with not talking about the fact that people go through everyday trials in life and the real stuff that people deal with. This is a real hard economy that we're in right now. People are losing jobs, losing their homes. There are people that are sick. There's a lot of stuff going on in people's lives. And my experience with institutional Christianity was when you walked in the door of the church, everybody had a smile on their face, and everybody put on airs because nobody wanted to let anybody know what was going on inside. And so this program is about what's going on inside, what you're dealing with on a daily basis as a believer in Christ who wants to go deeper and know Him in a way that you never have before, and then how do you deal with the different things that you deal with in your everyday life. And the whole focus of our Christian life is on one thing, and that's the message of the cross. Paul says in Philippians 2:13 that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved by it, being changed by it, it's the power of God. And so when you look at the church today, you see a powerless form, because that's what the Bible says, a form of godliness with no power. You see a powerless form, the shell of what God meant it to be, because the cross has all but been ignored in modern-day teaching. And the reason that is because when you start preaching the message of the cross, the first thing that the cross is going to do is it's going to deal with you personally, and God is going to roll death in on everything that you call life. Whatever you see as life, God is going to roll death in on it. And that's the seed that's planted in the ground. Except the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abides to itself. That's the seed that is planted in the ground so that the real identity of the believer can spring forth. And the real identity of the believer is always about others. It's always about other love. That's what real maturity is. That's what real adult Christianity is. Adult Christianity is taking the words of Jesus in Matthew, where he says, take not a thought for your life, and calling that the truth. Not just skimming over the top of it and saying, oh, that's nice, and I wish I could do that, but that's embracing that as truth. It's taking the words of Paul, where he says, I count all things as loss in comparison with knowing Jesus Christ, and it's going through the same kinds of sufferings that have to take you to that place. The other day, my wife Linda was looking at a post on Facebook by this person who is mature in the Lord, and yet in her whole discourse of what the real life of Christianity was, there wasn't one reference to suffering. It was all about love, love, love. Well, real love is laying down your life for your friends. That's what Jesus said. That's what real love is. Real love is coming to the end of you and realizing that there's something greater than you that God wants to birth through you. So when that independent seed is planted in the ground, the independent seed falls apart, literally. Because it's now in that environment of moisture and the pressure and the heat and all of the elements that cause the outward shell to fall apart. And that's exactly what Jesus was pointing to in that passage where he talks about the seed being planted in the ground. We are the seed. And so he wants to take us and plant us so that we can see that our life has a bigger purpose than just sucking up the atmosphere, eating steak, and collecting stuff, and accumulating possessions. The Bible says that life isn't found in our possessions, in the things that we possess. It's found in the righteousness and the peace and joy of knowing who we are in Christ. And so this ministry, this Rich in Christ ministry, is all about two things. It's about exposing the lie of the performance-based gospel that says you have to do something for God in order for God to do something for you. And the other part of it is to open, hopefully, open your eyes to the fact that your life is not about you. The reason that you're here as a believer today is to be planted in death, to be always bearing in our bodies the death of the Lord Jesus, that his life will be made manifest. We cannot have real life without a real death. And you can't fake this death. And so this is where the believer goes from an external relationship of being with God to where Jesus said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. What he was saying is, except you see me living in you as you, you won't know what real life is. All you'll know is the illusion of life. All you'll know is the try hard and fail harder Christian life that is being taught today as being the real thing. And so the believers that are really desiring Christ are the ones that are broken and beaten down. Paul says that they're the ones that they don't know. They don't know what God is doing in their life until they come to the end of themselves, and then they see in hindsight what he's done. And so today, God wants to open our eyes up to the fact that he is at work in each one of us, and that his work is going to take us to the end of everything that we hope and trust in. What I want to do today is something I haven't done for a while, and that's read out of my book, my 31-day devotional, Rich in Christ. I'm going to read this chapter. It's called Nothing is Lost. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. John 6:12. Jesus is our Lord. He is also our Savior, the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And as such, we need to know that he never forgets about anything that concerns his creation. It may seem like there are times we have been forgotten, but it's in those times we can be assured that nothing is lost. Even when we seemingly blow it and all of life is turned completely upside down and inside out. The times when we look in the mirror, walk away, and for a moment or even a season forget who we are. It's especially in those times we need to know that nothing is lost, which concerns us, not even one fragment. Jesus just finished feeding a whole bunch of people. And while everyone else was anxious for what was next on the Jesus agenda, he was only thinking about what was lost, even down to the smallest fragments of the leftovers that started out as a kid's lunch. The food that just moments before meant so much to these same people was now no longer needed because they were all filled. I thank God he never forgets the fragments that concern us. The times we think are lost forever are exactly what the following verse in Romans, the verse we all know and love, is all about. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Our God can take what seems to be lost forever, whether it be a broken relationship with a family member, a once close friendship, a lost occupation, or a seemingly hopeless physical concern, and show his eternal purposes in all of these things in Christ. He is the only one who can create life out of death and wholeness out of that which seems to be broken and lost forever. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:24. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a wonderful story, but it really has nothing to do with satisfying the hunger of the natural man. Communion is a wonderful experience among believers in Christ, but it's not just about remembering to eat and drink. Both the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and what we know as the communion verses are more than just external rituals. They are about seeing an internal Christ, the one who lives in us, currently willing and doing of his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. Christ is the very sustenance of life itself. This is where everything good and bad is open and laid bare before him with whom we have to do, and we see him as he is, Hebrews 4:13. And it's also here in this just as I am place where we learn of his unconditional love, where we see no matter how bad it appears, nothing is lost. Knowing him internally, not just knowing about him, is where we regularly eat his flesh and drink his blood, and now know that he cares for everything which concerns us. That includes the things that are exposed as well as the things that are still hidden. It's in knowing when he saved us completely. And that nothing is lost, not one fragment of our seeming up and down lives. Everything is always under his loving care and watchful eye. He goes on to say, I am the bread that came down from heaven, the true manna. This means to us that our life in him was meant to be taken in one day at a time portions. We no longer need to be part of a try and fail cycle of death, which causes so many of God's people to live under the cloud of condemnation. We don't have to follow the different gospel of doing for God in order to be loved by him. He loves everyone freely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is the eternal food and drink he gives that is needed to bring us to the place where we will never hunger or thirst again. Christ is our life. And when he saved us, he knew exactly what he was doing. It's wonderful to know that in his saving and keeping power, nothing is lost. We are saved in every sense of the word, past, present, and future. It's just as amazing when we discover he never forgets about one thing that concerns us. It might at times seem like he's forgotten, but it's precisely in these times he is teaching us the one foundational truth. This is the one truth we all need to know in order to continue to press in to a deep, abiding, and real relationship with him without the fear of being reprimanded or living under the dark cloud of condemnation. That truth being, in him, nothing is lost. That's day 16 from my 31-day Deeper Life devotional that I wrote over a year ago called Rich in Christ. And anybody that listens to this radio show can contact me on Facebook, Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. And over a year ago, we decided that we would follow Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9:18, and that we would freely give as we freely received. That's where Paul says that he's privileged to be able to preach the gospel, and his reward is that he can freely give it away and not partake in the privileges of the preacher, which is not what's going on today. And so, Facebook, private message, Rich Novek, and I'll send you a free copy of this book, and we will send it to you postage paid. It's not a mini book. It's not an e-book. It's a real book. 31 daily teachings, and we'll send it anywhere in the world, postage paid, free, if you just request it. There's not a whole lot of people that listen to this radio show, and the reason that is because wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to life. And if you want the path that leads to life, you have to lose your life. Matthew 16:25 says, except we lose our life, we can't gain his. And if we hang on to our life, we lose his. And what that means is we have to live in an illusion of life until we understand that Christ is the only life. Because he is the only life for the believer. There's not Jesus and, there's not Jesus plus the activity of going to church or reading the Bible or praying or tithing or any one of the other religious rules, rituals, or laws that the average Christian believes is real Christianity today. Because none of those things matter to God. The prophet lined up Jesse's sons looking for the next king, and every one of them looked kingly. Every one of them looked like they were leaders. But the Spirit did not confirm that any one of those were leaders. And so he asked, do you have any more sons? And he said, I have one more, and he's out with sheep. And we know that was David. And David was anointed king as a teenager because God doesn't look on the outward things that man looks on. God is not impressed with big ministries. God is not impressed with eloquence. God is not impressed with $100 million incomes. God is only impressed with one thing, and that is the life of his son in the everyday believer. That's the only thing that will ever impress God. Nothing else will. Jesus Christ is the only thing that impresses the Father. And today, the church is a laughing stock, and it's all but dead because the church has bypassed and called foolish the only message that is able to save it, past, present, and future. That reading that I just read, nothing is lost, is God letting us know that he'll never abandon us. That reading that I just read is God letting us know that his love is truly without condition. And the only way you can know that is by allowing God to take you to that place where your life is no longer your own. The only way you can know him in that way is to partake in what Paul called the fellowship of his sufferings. And then what God does is he begins to transform your whole way of seeing. Your whole way of seeing God and the whole way of seeing suffering and lack. And you begin to see that all of the things that God did, that God allowed Jesus Christ to go through, was for the purpose of others. And he's going to do the same thing in the mature body of Christ. The mature body of Christ is going to be brought into that same furnace until it sees one like the Son of Man standing in the furnace with it. That's real Christianity. So what you're going through today, the trials that you're enduring today, they're not a mistake. They're not because you didn't do enough. It's not because of anything except the perfect laid out plan of God for your life to come into a depth of knowing Jesus Christ that you've never been able to experience and never will outside of that weakness that you're dealing with right now. Because that weakness that you're dealing with, whatever it is right now, is not who you are. It's what God wants to show you through that weakness. His power is made perfect in that weakness, in that brokenness, in that loss, in that place of feeling abandoned and passed over. That's where we see the power of God. And God wants to reveal himself to his body through one who is willing to go that way, just one. In Ezekiel, he looked for one to stand in the gap, just one. And so that one had to be completely willing to lay down what he called his life in order that God could live his life through him for the ones that he wanted to reveal himself to. That's what real Christianity is. Anything else is a counterfeit. And this message isn't popular because it costs too much. This message isn't popular because it doesn't come with goosebumps and happy feelings and all of the things that humanity looks for and calls good. Because our definition of good is a far cry from God's definition of good. God's definition of good has to do with the good work that he wants to do in and through us so we can see the goodness of God through his Son. That's it. That's the good. That's the good as far as God defines good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And so he wants to redefine our life so we can see that the weaknesses and the trials and the tribulations that we endure every day are really the goodness of God. It doesn't feel like the goodness of God. It's not supposed to feel like the goodness of God. It's supposed to take us past our feelings and past our emotions into a deeper place. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. It's the losing to gain message of the cross. It's not suffering for suffering's sake. It's suffering because that broken seed has something within it that's bigger than the seed. And that's exactly what God wants to do and God is doing in some of his body today. And so you don't have to walk in the condemnation of the past and the fear of the future. God wants to take that trial that you're going through today and show you today. Because what happens in the trial is we automatically begin to think about our future, or we walk in condemnation of our past. That's what happened in Genesis 3. But God wants to take us beyond that so we can see Him as our fullness, as our complete provision in the day that we're in. Because this is the only day, as far as God is concerned, as far as He's concerned, that matters. This is it. And even more so, this now moment is the only moment that matters. Because if it's true that Christ is now living His life in and through us, then He's living. And it's no longer us who live. And so that's why we're able to walk in that place of no longer taking a thought for our own life. There's no other way we cannot take a thought for our life except we see that He's the one living our life. There's no possible way. It can only be done as we yield to the Spirit who's at work within us. And He is at work within us, no matter how we feel. I mean, today, I didn't want to do this show. Today, I'm dealing with stuff in my life. My wife has just lost the full use of her kidneys, and she's on dialysis. And we're getting ready to set up home dialysis. We're trying to sell our house. We had a realtor who had it on the market for 30 days. She did nothing with it, so it had to sit another 30 days. That's 60 days of good selling time that we weren't able to take advantage of. And so I've got to look at those things, and I've got to say either these are screw-ups from me because I didn't do enough, or this is the plan of God, and I've just got to release it. And that's what you've got to do, too. You've got to look at your life today and say, my life is no longer my own, period, and let Him live His life through you, in your weakness, as you. That's what real Christianity is. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank You, God. Thank You, Lord, for the people that are listening, and I ask that You open their eyes, unstop their ears so they can see and hear what it is, God, that You're saying today. Not what religion is saying. Not what their emotions are saying. Not what their circumstances are saying. But that they can hear the still small voice that's inside of them that is saying, just release your life to Me. Rest in the fact that I love you exactly where you are and wait to receive the next thing. Folks, this is Real Life with Rich in Christ. Hopefully I'll be back here again next week. And until then, God bless.